Greetings to everyone from around the world. This is a Sunday sermon recording from Father Mike of Our Lady of the Hills Parish, here in Southwest Ohio. I am your host, Ishmael Ali, and here is Father Mike's sermon.
The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. A leper came to Jesus and kneeling down begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, "I do will it, be made clean." And the leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then warning him sternly, Jesus dismissed him at once. Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed, and that will be proof for them." And the man went away and began to publicize the whole affair. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places. And people kept coming to Jesus from everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord. I admit it, I cannot deny it. I love the Three Stooges. They are my heroes. I fell in love with them as a kid, about 6-7 years old, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where on WTAE, Channel 4, I'd come home from school at 4:30, Paul Shannon had all the shorts of the Three Stooges films right there. And I watched them for years. I'll never stop watching them. That's 66 years I've been watching the Three Stooges. Just watched some last night. And my eclectic personality, also known as crazy, started with the Three Stooges. Right, Bryce? Bryce is agreeing. Oh, yeah, I'm very crazy. But God used my devotion to the Stooges to touch with compassion, a little boy at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, where I was there for 27 years. This 6-year-old boy had frizzy, curly hair like Larry. You know, Porcupine had all his hair. It was just natural for him. Remember, was it Jody from Family Affair with Brian Keith and Sebastian Cabot, Mr. French? He looked like the boy. He looked just like that boy on that TV show. He was a beautiful, beautiful looking child. He looked like a seraph angel that you see in those old church paintings. That's what he looked like. Sadly, life was not beautiful for him. This innocent child had AIDS. No fault of his own. He contracted the disease at conception. This was 1984, and if some of you may remember 40 years ago, everyone was freaking out about AIDS. No one knew what it was, hardly, and how did you get it? Swimming pools were shut down, and God forbid you would never touch a person that had AIDS, because then they thought you'll get it too, just by human touch. They even thought it could go through the air, you know? And when I visited this boy, I had to dress up in an isolation gown. You know what those gowns are, you know. And I had to wear special blue gloves. And they were Playtex gloves that you clean your stove with, very thick. And I had to wear those gloves to visit this boy with the isolation gown. And this poor boy was isolated, completely cut off from outside the room. "Do not touch," Unclean, unclean. Talk about lepers. That was modern day leprosy. Anyone who had AIDS was a leper. Now the hospital staff, you know, they did everything they could to make his miserable life more tolerable, to bring him a ray of joy, to dispel his life of sorrow that surrounded him. What tore my heart was that this six-year-old boy couldn't understand why life was treating him so badly. He would ask me, why do I have to stay in this room all day? Where are my mom and dad? Why don't they come visit me? His mother was very ill at that time, and his father was dead from AIDS. And he couldn't understand any of this. The poor little boy was depressed. You know, you get that depressed look when your muscles become flaccid in your face and your mouth turns down and you have this empty look. Well, that was him. I never saw him smile. I rarely heard him speak. It was like his soul was sucked out of him, like a boll weevil sucks out cotton. It's like, but it was gone. In his eyes, there was no soul in him at that time. His eyes were placid and empty. Then one day, this is the best part, one day, God burst forth with his touch. Now, back then in 1984, I was still fat, and I had to wear suspenders to keep my pants up. I mean, there was a reason. My pants would fall down. So I still have them, over 100 pair of colorful suspenders. You see, wearing the black, when I wore my black all the time, the black shirt, the kids thought I was the Undertaker. They did. They thought I was the funeral director and I was supposed to take them to the morgue. And they didn't know what a priest was. These are kids. So what I did to kind of make me more acceptable to them, I wore colorful suspenders like with Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and Bugs Bunny, and have a rare Tasmanian devil suspenders. They're all upstairs. You may go look at them sometime if you wish. They're in a big Maytag washing machine. But I also had a special pair, my favorite, the faces of Moe, Larry, and Curly. When I went in to see that little boy with my Three Stooges suspenders, and the boy saw them, immediately his eyes lit up. It's like someone turned on a switch and the soul came back. His eyes lit up. He smiled and he laughed. Now, me and the nurses in the room, we were shocked. We'd never seen him do anything like this. But all of a sudden, the switch went on and he laughed and he smiled. And then he yelled out to me the signature Curly call. He went, woo, 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 woo. That's what he did. And of course, I had to respond in kind. Woo, 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 woo. That was our first communication. That was it. Woo, woo, woo's from Curly, who died in 1952. And I proceeded then to do the Three Stooges routine. I took my fists and I hit my fist and I went like this. And I bumped my head, and then he wanted to bonk my head. And I hit his hand and he turned his arm and he bonked my head. See, that's why I'm so crazy, because I had concussion. I haven't been normal since that day. Good. But he was thrilled. He was thrilled. And what, unbeknownst to us, that when no one was in the room and he was alone, he would watch the Three Stooges on TV, just like I did 66 years earlier. And he watched them. And then the nurses asked me, Father Mike, do you have any other tapes of the Three Stooges movies? And I responded, certainly. I have all 190 of them on VHS, on DVD. I get them on the television. I always have. Just watched them last night. So from then on, when I visited him, there was a TV and a VHS player set up in his room. VHS players were just invented 7 years earlier. So this is 1984, and they were available. And then I would visit him and play these tapes of Mo and Larry and Curly. And the boy, when he saw them, just smiled the whole time. And he laughed and he giggled. You know what? I never watched the Stooges with him. I always looked at him. I didn't watch a TV, John. I looked at him, his face. It was such a joy to see this child smile, laugh. I just couldn't get over what a change. And I was glad that I and the Three Stooges could be part of that. God made that happen. And we watched the Three Stooges for several weeks, and then he died. He went to heaven. And now the little boy could smile at God, and God smiled at him, and they could laugh forever. It's ironic that the last Stooge film that we watched was entitled Bedlam in Paradise, where Shemp dies and becomes an angel. It's the last one we watched, and then he became an angel. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that God would use the Three Stooges to touch a sad little boy with happiness? I believe when God heals, he restores the entire person, not just the body, but the whole person. He heals their soul. He heals their mind. He heals their heart as well. Jesus, in today's gospel, he could have healed the leper from a distance. He could have, when the leper approached him, ringing his bell, Jesus could have said, go away, stand over there, I don't want to touch you. But no, he allowed this leper to touch him, which in Jewish law made Jesus unclean, made him unclean. But he allowed him to touch him. You know, in other miracles Jesus did of healing, he wasn't present, he wasn't even close. When the centurion's servant, centurion asked his servant to be healed, Jesus said, I'll come to your house. This is well documented in Matthew 8. I'll come to your house. The centurion said, don't bother. Listen, I'm a general. You have all the power. You're in command, Jesus. Just give the word. Just order it, and it'll happen. And that's what Jesus did. And he said, this man has more faith than anyone in Israel. And how about the time of the royal official's son in John 4? He healed from a distance. And then I love the story about the woman's daughter with a possessed demon, possessed by a demon in Matthew 15. This is the one, she was a Syrophoenician rich woman, and she ordered Jesus to do the healing. And she commanded, like snapped her finger and ordered him to do her bidding. And you don't tell Jesus what to do. So, he said to her, it is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. He called her a dog. You know what she said? Even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the children's table. And then Jesus knew right then and there she was humble. Not prideful, but humble. See, he healed her soul, that woman's soul, as well as her daughter. He healed her soul from pride and gave her humility. And I can imagine when she said that, that is the best comeback line in all the Bible. And I imagine Jesus laughing at her and that she passed the test. It says she adored Jesus. She worshiped him and he laughed and he helped her up and says, what you desire shall be granted because of her humility and faith. So my brothers and sisters, here we have this leper. So why did Jesus touch this leper? Well, think about it. This leper hadn't been touched in years. He was an outcast, ringing a bell, yelling, unclean, get away from me. He was all alone. He hadn't felt human touch in a long time. And so Jesus knew that to fully heal this man, he had to touch him. Not just heal him, but touch him with his hands. By touching this leper, Jesus was saying to him, you are not an outcast anymore. God is not afraid of you. God wants to take away your misery. Be now fully alive. Be fully alive. And I think Jesus hugged him. He touched him and he hugged him. In ancient days, to seal a document, you had to take your thumb with a fingerprint and press it into hot wax. And that was how you sealed the deal. You didn't do a signature. Your signature was hot wax and a thumbprint. And Jesus gave divine fingerprints to this man. He put his fingerprints all over his healed body in hugging him and touching him. And so in ancient days, when you took your thumb and put it on the seal of the hot wax, you know when you did that, especially when you adopted a child. If you're going to adopt a child, that's how you did it. That you put your thumb in there, and it's a man's way of saying, whatever is mine is now belong also to my adopted child. And by Jesus touching him with his divine fingerprints, he was saying, you now are a child of God. He adopted him that day with the divine fingerprints of Jesus. That's amazing. He left his imprint on him. Now God has chosen you. God has chosen you to be his hands. Go out and touch someone with God's fingerprints. Leave God's fingerprints all over the place through your hands. Impress upon a suffering person God's fingerprint of love. You know, I think one of the greatest things to do physically is to hold and hug somebody. That always feels good. I like doing that, to hug someone. I still remember my mom hugging me when I was a kid. I still have happy memories. It just felt so good. Your mommy hugs you, says she loves you. But then when you get to be a teenager, like, ooh, go away. Right, Bryce? I mean, your mama hugs you, like, ew. But when you're a kid, when you're 6 years old, have your mom hug you meant the world to you, to me. So Jesus will use your hands to leave his fingerprints of love impress upon a suffering person the hand of God through your hand. Touch them as Jesus would touch them with your hands of compassion and love and care. Be the healing that they need. Amen. But I'm not done. One final story. One more. This is good. There's a true story of a wealthy woman who wanted to write a check to Mother Teresa to support her ministry to the poor in Calcutta. Mother Teresa said, No, I don't want your money. The woman insisted that she take the money. Here, Mother Teresa. And Mother Teresa continued to refuse the check. In exasperation, the wealthy woman asked, well, then what can I do to help? What do you want me to do? Mother Teresa took the woman by the hand and led her to a poor shelter, a shanty, a shack like a chicken coop. And there lay a hungry, dirty child. Mother told the woman, take care of her. Take care of her. And the wealthy woman did something she never had to do because she was rich. It was all done for her. The wealthy woman filled a basin with water and bathed the child. She prepared some cereal and spooned it into the child's hungry mouth. The encounter changed this woman's life forever by touch. It's easy to sit back and give money and write a check, but not get involved. From then on, she was involved in the ministry to the poor. The poverty of this child brought her the wealth of knowing sacrifice for another human being. Money can never buy that. So, my brothers and sisters, God will call you to touch others in the same way. Leave God's fingerprints on them and on many people. And when you get to heaven, watch out You'll hear a little boy yell, woo, woo, woo. And he's going to bonk you on the head and throw a pie in your face. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And the pie, I've already told God, I want an egg custard pie with Cool Whip whipping. Cool Whip, what's it called, that stuff? That Cool Whip stuff. That's my favorite dessert. And I'll take it in the face. They'll take my tongue and go, that's good. Name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
This recording of Father Mike's sermon was produced and edited by me, Ish Ali. The intro music is Amazing Grace, sung by LaGrave Avenue CRC of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thank you to Father Mike for a great sermon. Previous recordings of Father Mike's sermons can be found at saintmaryhillsboro.org, that's S-A-I-N-T, maryhillsboro.org, and on the St. Mary Hillsboro YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this program, please donate and help sponsor future sermon recordings. You can send checks to St. Mary Catholic Church, 212 South High Street, Hillsboro, Ohio, 45133. All donations are tax deductible and greatly appreciated. Thank you for listening.